I'm Jamisha Millard, and on today's news story, I'm speaking with Alicia Marie, the co-chair of the Ottawa Black Diaspora Coalition. We'll be talking about what truly happened at the recent demonstration for racial justice, Black and Indigenous lives that took place over the course of 3 days last weekend. Can you tell me about the protest, why it was organized, who organized it, and what the intention was behind the protest?
So the protest was organized by the Ottawa Black Diaspora Coalition, which I am the co-chair of, along with Vanessa. We organized with land defenders, so some Indigenous folks, as well as Justice for Abdurrahman, mm-hmm. was also signed on to support, and then later as a core organizer of the event. So the intention was to really bring attention to systematic racism. As you know, there is not only one issue that is affecting the Black and Indigenous community, and we are constantly dealing with issues, and so we don't want actions and demands to die down. So there wasn't one trigger that set off this action. It was the entire system of things. So contributing factors were, yes, the verdict coming in and the officer involved in killing Abdi being acquitted of all charges. Yes, there was the Indigenous woman who was murdered by nurses. There was all of these contributing factors to why we need to demand change and reform for the entire system. We're not just addressing policing. We're not just addressing education. We're addressing healthcare and we're addressing community. It's really important that actions don't die off after the sensationalism of an incident is over.
So on Friday, it was suggested that city officials might negotiate with you guys and protesters. What happened with the negotiations and what are the terms and what were the terms of the protesters?
So the protesters had a list of 10 demands. The demands included the demands, of course, for the Justice for Abdurrahman Coalition. They also included demands and changes in policing that vary from school resource officers be removed from schools. There was issues in surrounding healthcare, housing. Now that it's really getting cold outside, to access to affordable housing, our demands spanned across the entire government system. So we wanted to have a conversation about a tangible demand that could be met. And we were very much willing to negotiate. One of our demands included that the police board show up on site as well as city council members show up on site. The police board said, absolutely not, we're not doing that. The most we'll give you is 5 extra minutes at the police board meeting, to which we'd already had around 30 minutes. We've all signed up to speak. Right. So that was literally nothing. We could have got that extra 5 minutes ourselves by applying for an extra spot. Mm-hmm. So the three city council members did agree to come down to location and meet. After they agreed to come down to location and meet, the police board then had agreed to having a meeting at City Hall for us to attend on Saturday at noon, and city council members were to attend on site of our protest on Saturday at 10 a.m. Chief of police also assured via phone call that protesters would not be arrested and our protest would not be dismantled prior to wow. these meetings. Yes, cool. And that phone call actually happened close to midnight on Friday, just 3.5 hours prior to him sending in his forces to violently arrest and desecrate sacred objects and as well as Indigenous and Black bodies.
So if we go back to Saturday morning at 3:30, the cops showed up and explained the rest.
So I actually personally was not there. I was watching on live stream.
Okay.
So what happened I'll just give you an idea. After the police board had agreed to meet and after city officials agreed to meet and after the chief of police assured that no arrests would be made, folks felt comfortable to say, okay, we can at least breathe. We don't have to be on 10 alert right now. Folks can start resting. Folks can take shifts to go home and shower and come back in the morning, you know, or come back in a few hours. It was now in a process of like, okay, let's just kind of regroup and rest and just breathe, mm-hmm. Which was the intent of the chief with his false promises, is getting everybody to get their guards down and also to go home. I started receiving group notifications around 2:30, I believe, or about 3 o'clock, just saying the police are here. And so at that point, I get up and I start watching the live, and I start trying to contact lawyers. I'm group messaging different group organizations that we have that are responsible for contacting lawyers, contacting allies, and just like a chain of what we need to happen now to keep folks safe. The police were then dropped off on site via City of Ottawa buses. Ambulances and buses were used, and also fire trucks were used in the aiding of getting officers and distracting protesters. It was a big unified effort by the city and the police. So city dollars and police dollars were used to take down less than 20 peaceful protesters while most of them slept. A few protesters were awake because it was windy out, tents started to fall over, so they were up trying to get supplies back in order and just like keep the area safe and just intact. The police then, once they approached the line, told folks that they had 10 minutes to pack up and dismantle and leave or they would be arrested. This wasn't a reasonable request considering it took us hours to set up this space with three times the amount of people. Mm-hmm. And we also had thousands and thousands of dollars in just like sleeping bags, tents, donations, wood for, to keep the sacred fire going, and food, tons and tons of food. So after a few, they tried to negotiate for more time. The police were like, okay, listen, how much time do you need? And they would say, we need an hour. They say, no, 10 minutes. Okay, we need 30 minutes. No, 10 minutes. We need 15 minutes. No, you're getting 10 minutes. That was the negotiation that was taking place. The police mm-hmm. said nothing beyond 10 minutes. Within a few minutes of telling certain folks to hurry up and pack and other folks to get on the sidewalk, there was a whole bunch of confusion going on and arrests started happening immediately, violently and immediately. Allies attempted to protect Black and Indigenous bodies from interacting with the police and being harmed. So they, allies began to be arrested. We had an organizer who is a Black Muslim woman who was down on the ground picking up things and following direction by the police when in the middle of her packing up, they twisted her arm back aggressively. She said that she had an arm injury previously and they didn't need to be so aggressive, that she was complying and cooperating. They then attempted and to forcibly remove her scarf, her hijab. And they had her on the ground while she was complying and while she was on a live stream. And then from that moment, they started harassing Indigenous folks who then were saying, this is our land. This is our right to be here and take up this space. We have federal and legal rights to be here more so than the police do. And we're going to hold this space. An Indigenous organizer was told to get on the sidewalk. They complied and they were still arrested. This is all, again, all of this is happening on live stream. So there is the evidence to support what actually happened on the site. You can hear our demonstrators and our protesters and our organizers asking, why am I being detained? Why am I being detained? Several of them received no answer. And ultimately, the reason for detention was a mischief charge. Our organizers were then taken down to the police station, to which a large call out was made to allies to have the supports given and basically to ensure the safety of the safe return of our Black and Indigenous bodies who are the most vulnerable in police custody. The idea is that the more allies involved and enraged and demanding for their safe return, the more likely that is to happen. It's unfortunate that our bodies and our safety is tied to white outrage demanding our safety, but that's just the reality of the world we live in and what we're actively fighting against.
So they got released and like, it was just because everybody showed up at the station?
So they were released. These were very minor charges, minor infractions. Mischief is a very minor infraction. However, the fear was that because it was Saturday, there was every possibility that the Ottawa police would detain certain folks or even everyone until Monday to see a judge. That was a possibility. And the fear of organizers that weren't arrested was simply that the longer Indigenous and Black bodies were in custody, the more danger they were in. So we mobilizing angry allies was really our only hope in ensuring both the safety and the fastest possible release of of our allies, Indigenous and Black organizers. So I can't say that the allies are the reason that our folks were released so quickly. And I don't want to say quickly and take away from the several hours that they were in custody and detained. I just mean quickly, as in we didn't have to wait until Monday to find out if they would be released. So the support was definitely helpful. We folks rallied out and they shut down the entire street in front of the police station and screamed and demanded the release until the very last organizer was released. And that was very meaningful to all of us. And it was really important that community showed up in that moment and that basically that we were unharmed, physically unharmed. I do also want to note, however, that while protesters were on location, several calls for bodies were made on social media. And while we understand now that folks weren't really seeing the posts on social media and those posts were perhaps being censored and not showing up in feeds, I just want to note that as organizers of the Ottawa Black Diaspora Coalition, and I know other organizing agencies involved with us, we will never ask for anything that we don't need. That includes funding, that includes supplies, but most especially that includes bodies. So when we are asking for bodies to show up, we're not trying to increase our numbers. We're not trying to hype our action. It's because for safety reasons, we are running low on folks and we need people to show up for us. So while it was great that folks showed up while we were arrested, and we're very grateful for those who were able to get down and make their voices and concerns heard and demand for the release of the 12 that were arrested, it's also very, very important to show up in uncomfortable situations when we're out here risking our bodies and our lives for the changes that we're fighting for. Our demands are Black and Indigenous centered. However, education is a human issue. So our community programs, those are human issues. Those aren't Black and Indigenous issues. These healthcare and education, these things affect everyone. We're not out here simply fighting for ourselves. They're just issues that most affect us. So when we're calling for bodies and we're calling for allies, we really, really need folks' support, and I hope that going forward, folks that are posting the blackout squares and Indigenous support and land back support, that they are actually showing up in action and not social media.
All right. So did anybody else counter protest or cause disturbances at the scene? Because I do remember watching
Absolutely.
One of the lives.
Yes.
The man showed up with the Make America Great Again hat.
Yes. So the first person the first incident I want to discuss is the white woman driving through our peaceful demonstration with her vehicle, and the false narrative that was then released by especially radio and a few news outlets that protesters were jumping on cars. Protesters were being run over by vehicles, and the only safe option was to either be on top of that car or under that car. We were not jumping on cars. If you look at the history of all of the organizers, Land Defenders, Ottawa Black Diaspora, and the Justice for Abdurrahman, we are very peaceful and we have never had any incidents of violence or anything like this previously. So basically our history speaks for itself. We were not jumping on vehicles. A white woman drove her vehicle through peaceful protesters, was not stopped by police, and was allowed to leave the scene of a crime. That is the first incident. The second incident I want to discuss is the mega Make America Great Again white man that showed up on site purposely to antagonize demonstrators. And he made that very clear. And he said, and I quote, "I wear this hat to get under your skin. I wear this hat for your reactions." So folks in the crowd started responding to him. "You lost. It's time to, you know, get over it. This hat is irrelevant at this point," those types of things. The police were standing probably 10 feet from this white mega hat wearing man and did nothing. He sat there antagonized. He came onto the inside of the protesters' tape, the barrier, which a line that police at this point hadn't even crossed themselves. He came into our space and started demanding 6 feet in our space. The police still did nothing. I want to also let folks know and just acknowledge that this white man came with a concealed weapon. When the police finally did address him, they confiscated this concealed weapon with no incident, with no notice to appear, with no write-up. They just took this man's concealed weapon, and they had a very polite conversation with him, kindly asked him to leave, and negotiated the terms in which he would leave for approximately 30 minutes. And it's very important to note the kindness, care, and respect from the police that this white MAGA hat-wearing man was given, and the abuse and violence that our protesters faced when given 10 minutes to pack up and leave a site that took us days to compile and prepare.
Now, what is happening? Have city councilors reached out to you, or how does that work?
So nobody has reached out since the board meeting. We have said publicly that negotiations are officially over, and the harm that has been caused by the deceit and the manipulation and the takeover of our demonstration, that has severed all communication ties. We are no longer speaking to city council members. They have reached out to us when we were outside of the police station trying to get our folks released. A city council member did reach out, had one of their family members come down and asked to speak to us. We refused any communication at this point because we were lied to. We were manipulated, and we don't have time to hear folks try to say we weren't involved or we didn't know. We don't believe that, and that's also irrelevant at this point. So we took up a lot of time and space, I think, between our organizers and just ourselves, took up about 30 minutes of the police board meeting with our 5-minute slots that we all signed up for. But we'd also like to note that the community really showed up, and I believe around 90 people had signed up. And one person out of the entire call that I heard was for the police budget increase. And I'm going to say about 98% of the folks after mentioned the action that took place and demanded that our demands be met, demanded that charges against our protesters, our peaceful protesters, be dropped. And so that was very powerful. Our movement was dismantled, and our people were attacked after 36 hours of demonstration. But this is just goes to say the power behind the movement, that this is the police board didn't want to hear us on the days that we requested them, but they heard us all day yesterday for 8 whole hours. All of our demands being reiterated to them, all of the support that we received. They didn't want to listen when we asked, but they had to listen yesterday, and that was very, very powerful to us. And we do want to thank all of the folks that came out in support of us and let the city or the police board know that we are supported by the community. I just want to add that this was the very first time that Indigenous activists and Black activists came together here in Ottawa and worked together in this capacity as a genuine, sincerely joint effort to bring our nations together and just create a family. Indigenous and Black folks go through very similar struggles within systematic racism, and we are stronger together and we are stronger united. And that was really important to the movement. That was very important to me. I am an Afro-Indigenous woman, and having my two communities come together in such a way was very powerful, and it's something that we're very, very proud of. And we hope that this is the beginning of a strong relationship and united front on the issues that we face. The second thing that I want to acknowledge is that the chief of police publicly apologized yesterday, even though it was not a sincere apology by any means. So we're not acknowledging the apology. I'm simply bringing attention to that he acknowledges that the police desecrated a sacred fire and sacred Indigenous medicines. Our sweetgrass, our sage were violently abused and desecrated. This city and this country is constantly silencing Indigenous voices with reconciliation promises, and then they treat us and the Anishinaabe folks on their own land so disrespectfully and violently, with no efforts to handle and learn the cultural practices here. There's always acknowledgement of the land and that everyone is residing on, but no respect for the people that this land belongs to. So the police chief did mention that they contacted Indigenous communities to see how they should handle the sacred fire as well as the sacred medicines. I can confirm at this point that every Indigenous community we have contacted and the Anishinaabe people have reached out to find out if any efforts were made. We are unable to find any, and we have contacted folks that are regularly involved in the city of Ottawa as Indigenous folks, and they have not been contacted. And at that point, they just dumped everything very maliciously and ignorantly, and that is something that was very painful to myself and the Anishinaabe community. our drums again, our belongings were just thrown in a pile of trash. Thank you.
I'm Jamisha Millard, and on today's news story, I spoke with Alicia Marie, the co-chair of the Ottawa Black Diaspora Coalition. We talked about the latest demonstration that took place last weekend to protect Black and Indigenous lives. Disheartening events took place, and our fight for justice is clearly far from over. I am Jamisha Millard, and thank you for tuning in to today's news story. This news story was made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada.